Ready to go. All right. No gavel. Call to order regular meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District on Wednesday, June the 1st. Roll call, please.
Director Karen Ray Ressam?
Here.
Vice Chair Karen White?
Here.
That is all that's present?
Yes. Okay, we'll stand for the pledge, please.
Put your hand over your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll move on to public comments on items not on the agenda. And looking out in the audience, I see we have no one here for public comment at this time. So we will move on to the consent agenda. And do we have any action on the consent agenda?
No questions.
Any questions?
I have an amendment to the agenda. Are we on consent? We're on the minutes?
Yes. No, we're on consent. We're on the minutes, yes.
So on the minutes, on items 6A and 6B, the action is receive and file. I'm going to amend that to read the board voted unanimously by roll call.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you want to open and close public comment?
No. Oh, yes. Open public comment, and seeing no one come forward, I'll close public comment and we can proceed.
Do we have online capabilities for public comment?
Okay. We do not.
Okay. Then I will move that we approve the warrants and the meeting minutes of May 18th as discussed regarding which item was that?
Item 6A, 6B, and 6C.
What she said.
Yes. Isabel. Yes. And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 2-0, 1 absent. Moving on to our action items, water redundancy project update. And I'd like the pictures.
Eileen Shields with MKN will be presenting this.
Oh.
I think she's going to zoom in. AGP?
I'm here via Zoom. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so you have in front of you, I guess first of all, thank you for allowing me to present via Zoom. I'm happy to be here tonight, though virtually. I can start my video, but I don't know if you have a screen to see me. So
we cannot see you at this time.
Oh, okay. Sorry. This is Travis from AGP Video. We do not have that capability set up for you. Sorry.
No worries. That's just fine. Just let me know, and I can see you all. So if you have a question, feel free to interrupt, and I'll pause. So I'm here to present the quarterly wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update. This staff report and the update, it covers the months of February, March, and April. The schedule and the costs are largely on track, and you know, I'll point out again that there have been no accidents or work-related injuries or recordable safety incidents on the project. We're more than halfway through the construction duration, and things are running relatively smoothly out there. This schedule summary was drafted on May 23rd. We are 483 days through the approximately 900-day schedule. There have been 2 negative change order days where the contractor was permitted to work on some district holidays with advanced coordination with the district and the construction management team. And we've had 3 weather days so far where they had enough rain out there that they did not proceed with work for that scheduled day. We're about 51% complete by time. The April 1st schedule update from the contractor indicated a completion date of July 25th, 2023, which is 13 days beyond the contract completion date. And if you recall, we had some discussion on this during our last update, you know, what that extended anticipated completion date indicates, and that's the contractor's best guess as to the workflow. There's a lot of variability. There's a lot of variables in that, and so each month we get a schedule update from the contractor. The team looks at it pretty diligently. The construction manager walks through it with the contractor, and we really look at ways to expedite work and whether there's some room to compress something. So the team continues to examine the schedule on a monthly basis. And I will say that the contractor is often coming forward, making changes and shifting work around in an effort to keep things on track. The budget summary is provided in the next section. We're about 60% complete by cost, and the contract award was just under $27 million. We've had contract changes in the amount of a little more than $105,000 for a percent to date of 0.39% in construction change orders.
Eileen, can I ask you a question on that one?
Of course.
I seem to remember Jeremy telling us that the contract changes are largely due to having to get replacement parts and slight redesigns and those sorts of things having to do with supply chain issues. Is that what this one represents?
So I'd want to look back to be sure on all of them. There's been kind of a mix of unanticipated things run into during construction, like, you know, needing some, like this update or this change order that's described in the current update is the one that occurred in this time period. So change order number 6 is described down there. Uh-huh. And that was, you know, some slight changes from design that were required. Like one of them's, you know, cutting through a existing concrete slab that was below grade that we didn't know was there. Some of it is for changes required due to supply chain. Some of it's for just unanticipated issues that come up in the field during construction.
Okay, thank you.
So, with each project update, the change orders that were executed during that period are described with that, and we can provide a summary of change orders if there's additional questions. There's a current potential change order for additional costs that we're tracking. These are due to adjustments that were required at the electrical building flood wall. The district's in the process of obtaining quotes from the contractor. And in order to keep things moving, the construction manager worked with the contractor up front to come up with a not-to-exceed amount of about $3,000. So that work change directive was issued for that not-to-exceed amount, and we expect that the actual cost will come in below that. One of the more significant changes that we wanted to alert your board to is there was a design change that was issued during this period. It will result in a change order, and it's to handle rerouting of conduits within the aeration basin. The design called out for the conduits to be routed along the underside of the aeration basin decks to traverse the aeration basins from one side to another. However, there are no decks along the northern and southern walls, so the design plans didn't detail exactly how this was to be done. And it's not uncommon for electrical contractors to come in and propose various ways to route conduits. However, when they took a look at this they discovered that there were conflicts with going along the inside of the wall due to weirs and openings and gates and things. And there simply wasn't enough room above the waterline to traverse within the aeration basin. So the district asked the design engineer to take a look at that. Kennedy Jenks came back and issued a design change that called for a steel conduit bridge to run over the aeration basin. MKN worked with M&S, the construction manager, as well as district staff to work hard at this and see if there was an easier way, a more efficient way to design the routing of the conduits. And due to the tightness of the site, the large piping that's, you know, currently being installed and other equipment around the aeration basins, came back and determined that this was going to be the best way to go. So after M&S worked with the contractor on an initial preliminary cost, they ended up issuing a work change directive not to exceed $45,000 so the contractor can get moving and order the steel. You may be aware that there are delays in equipment and supplies and construction materials in this current climate, so we wanted them to move on that. So they're able to procure the steel for the conduit bridge, and M&S is still working. Excuse me. M&S is still working with Belons to nail down the cost of that change order. We do anticipate, we've seen some preliminary drafts, we anticipate that the change will result in an additional cost somewhere around $200,000 for the work and the materials for that conduit bridge.
Question.
Yes.
Shouldn't that have been anticipated in the original design of this facility?
I think that they did know there were a number of conduits that needed to get across the aeration basin. They did not see, the conflict with the weir openings and the equipment and the water level and where the decks were going to go and such.
To me, it just seemed like it should have been anticipated. And also, I know it's a real trivial thing, but the generator pad with the wiring conduits in the wrong location I know it's trivial, but it seems like something that was just a total miss somewhere in construction. I don't know if you could say any more about it.
I
know it's just, but little things piling up, and here as we're trying to finish, we can start seeing the failures that were possibly made in the design phase a while ago that maybe should have been caught. But I understand the task of building things like this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. There's a summary of the overall project budget below, and this is provided in more detail in one of the attachments.
I have a question about this one.
Yes.
I have a question about this one, and I didn't notice it until just now. So I was thinking that change orders 1 through 6 have been spent to date. So why is that not in that column? What am I missing there?
Let's see. Let me look back.
So I'll tell you, I'm just eyeballing it, and I'm no accountant, but I see that the change orders are not accounted for in the spent to date or the balance to finish, nor is all the rest of them are, but the numbers on the total all add up and balance.
So change orders are not necessarily spent. They're added into the total budget, unless I'm misunderstanding.
Well, the way that this looks, it looks like you add from top to bottom to get 37,400,000. So if they're not in the budget, then that shouldn't be listed there because it's not part of that number.
Oh, it should be in the budget.
But then if it's not in the spent to date or balance to finish, then the numbers on the two right-hand columns can't add up to the same number that's in the first column because there's an extra 105,655 in there.
I guess I'm not understanding the...
Okay, so... If we're looking at these columns in the budget column, we have a total expenditure there in bold at the bottom of 37,400,000, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if I add up everything in that column, it's going to get to 37,400,000, right?
Well, there's subtotals. Is that throwing it off?
Maybe. So
the 26,939 plus the 105 equal the 27,044. 697. So the first two rows add to the third. The third is a subtotal.
Oh, okay. That would be good to indicate. All right, got it.
The sixth is a subtotal.
The sixth?
So it's really...
What was the sixth? What?
The sixth row is a subtotal.
So all the subtotals were in bold, but then the current construction contract should be in bold then.
Yes.
Because it's a subtotal. Okay, got it. Yeah. All right, that's the difference. Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad it wasn't a math error.
Just want to make sure we didn't lose $105,000.
Yes. Thank you. I'll bold that for the next one. Okay, so as far as the construction contract, we're... 16.1 million spent to date. We have about 10,900,000 balanced finish. We have remaining a little over $3 million in construction contingency. And on the professional services costs, we are approximately 2/3 of the way through the budgeted cost. So we had budgeted $6,879,602. We're about $4.5 million spent for a remaining of approximately $2.4 million. We have a construction contingency of a little less than 10% remaining. The summary of work follows. I'll just highlight some of the items. The concrete placement was completed for the secondary clarifier number two walls, which was a significant achievement. They began concrete placement of the aeration basin decks, completed the masonry work at the blower building. I don't know if either of you have had a chance to go out there and see the site lately or view some of the videos online, but there's quite a bit of actual structure out there now, which is exciting. For a while, it was a large hole in the ground. And so those walls have all come up, and you've got a real blower building out there. They've poured the concrete for the generator pad, some of the other equipment pads. In March, they continued concrete work on the aeration basin deck, installed the roof trusses, some process piping in the blower building. Got through the hydrostatic testing, so that's the, you know, making sure that the structure will hold water. That was for the pipeline between the aeration basin and secondary clarifier number two. The motor control center arrived and was placed in the blower building in March. In April, they completed the concrete placement for the two main structures, the secondary clarifier and the aeration basin walls and decks. That's when they completed the hydrostatic testing for the two structures, the secondary clarifier and the aeration basin. They welded some framing, installed decking and overhead doors at the blower building. continued installation of some of the major piping on site, and they started backfilling the main excavation and drilling some epoxy anchors within the aeration basin. A lot of electrical work continued. The generator arrived. This is what the director was indicating earlier. They discovered that the conduits within the generator pad had been installed in the wrong location. So the contractor's working with the general contractor is working with the electrical contractor to find that most efficient solution, and they're working on implementing that. Let's see. So for May, continued concrete placement occurred. They did move to install the generator and continued conduit and wiring work on the facilities. Continued work on the blower molding and installing anchors and working within that pipeline corridor. So there's a lot of work getting the major pipelines in between the existing facilities and the new facilities. And they're continuing to finish work on the aeration basin. I attached a few photos of the work, as well as a detailed summary of the budget status and the executive summaries from the construction manager's reports for each of the 3 months. That concludes the update. I'll take any additional questions you might have.
I have none. I don't believe we have any.
Public comment? Can we have open and close?
I'd like to open public comment, and seeing no one coming forward, I will close public comment. And I believe this is just a report and file. Thank you very, very much for your report.
Thank you.
Anything else? No?
Okay, move on to 6B, adoption of resolution 2022-442 for collecting fiscal year 2022-23 district annual wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano through the county property tax roll.
Good evening. This is your adoption of resolution 2022-442 for collecting fiscal year 2022-23 district annual wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano through the county property tax roll. Tonight's recommendation is that the board approve resolution 2022-442, authorizing the transmittal of the report to the county to collect the district wastewater treatment charges from the OCSD service area for the fiscal year 2022-23 on the property tax roll. At the June 1st, 2016 meeting, the board adopted resolution number 2016-347, directing staff to work with the county to collect current and delinquent wastewater treatment charges from the community of Oceano via the annual property tax bills versus direct billing by the district. The district now receives its wastewater treatment charges from Oceano via collections made by the county on the property tax rolls. In preparation for this item, NBS, the district's billing consultant, prepared the required report that identifies each parcel of the real property by address and assessor's parcel number, or APN, and associated charges for wastewater treatment and facilities for said parcel for the fiscal year 2022-23. The charges conform to the rate structure established by Ordinance Number 2016-01, adopted by the Board March 2nd of 2016. And a copy of this report is available at the district office and district website for public inspection. And that concludes my report.
I guess we can start with a public comment, and seeing no one coming forward, we'll close.
Nobody's coming running from the street?
No, no. Although there are some people who are not pleased with the system. Any discussion?
I am fine with this. You're the representative from Oceana, yes. So I'll let you lead.
I recommend we approve resolution number 20022-442, authorizing the transmittal report of the county to collect district wastewater treatment charges from the OCSD service area for fiscal year 2022-23 on the county property tax roll.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
No, roll call. Excuse me. Roll call vote.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Aye.
Director Karen White?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, let's keep on moving. Public hearing and adoption of resolution number 2022-443, approving a budget for fiscal year 2022-2023. And I believe this is, we review it and then we call for a public hearing.
I believe you open the public hearing.
Do we review it before we open the public hearing?
Usually there would be a staff report and then the public would be able to comment and then the public hearing would close before your deliberations. But if okay. There's no staff report.
I'm providing a staff report.
Then
okay, we then
should
let's go with
that.
Staff report.
Okay. All right, this is your fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. The recommendation tonight is that you review the budget for the fiscal year. You open the public comment hearing and to receive public input regarding the adoption of the budget for fiscal year 22-23. Close the public hearing and direct revisions, if any, be incorporated into the budget for this fiscal year. Adopt resolution number 2022-443, approving the budget for fiscal year 2022-2023. On May 18th, 2022, the board reviewed and discussed the draft budget for fiscal year 2022-23. No changes or modifications were requested by the board. Using past experience and professional judgment, the budget for fiscal year 22-23 was prepared using conservative estimates and assumptions, mindful of the need to operate the facility in a safe, cost-effective, efficient manner while complying with applicable federal, state, and local requirements. Through the district budget for this fiscal year is attached to this staff report. This budget covers the period of July 1st, 2022 through June 30, 2023. The budget will meet the operational, maintenance, and capital needs of the district, including funding for the fiscal year 2022-23 costs for the redundancy project. The district reserve policy currently requires that the district maintain a minimum operating reserved value at 10% of the annual cost of operation and maintenance. The district currently has a Fund 19 operating reserve of $8,137,588, or 166.5% of annual operating costs. The operating reserve is separate from the funds in the capital accounts. The Fund 20 Capital Expansion Fund holds the bond, LAIF, and interim USDA funding for the redundancy project. Tabulated on this screen are the summary values of the district's reserves for operating, capital expansion, and capital replacement. The fiscal year 2022-2023 will see the majority of the $15,885,797 holdings in Fund 20 consumed for completion of the redundancy project. The proposed fiscal year budget leaves the $8,137,588 of district reserves untouched and available for unforeseen emergencies and future needs. Fund 19 supports the following general categories of district operation activities: personnel, permits, fees, and licenses, communications and computer support, administrative costs, including professional services, temporary labor, advertisements, recruitment, insurance liability, office and safety supplies, legal costs, engineering, coastal hazards and monitoring, LAFCO budget share, Zone 1, 1A property tax, agency billing, disposal services for solids handling and brine sampling, the utilities, the electricity, gas, rubbish, and water, the maintenance, tools and replacements, equipment and structure maintenance, materials, services and supplies, plant chemicals, temporary labor, fuel, training, education and memberships, debt service, scheduled maintenance, new capital equipment, the transfers out to 19 to support Fund 26 projects, and transfer out to Fund 20 to support the redundancy project. Staffing, the staff roster consists of a district administrator, a secretary bookkeeper, a plant superintendent, a plant operations supervisor, a plant senior operator, a laboratory technician, a plant and four plant operator twos. There are 10 full-time positions funded in this draft budget, and all positions are currently filled.
Yay!
The budget includes the new plant operator two that will be necessary as the redundancy project progresses. These costs and needs for the additional operator were previously identified and are consistent with the operational expenses included in the adopted rates necessary to build the redundancy project. Fund 20 is the capital expansion fund. This fund holds the bond and interim USDA funding for construction of the redundancy project and receives revenue annually from connection fees. This fund supports capacity, expansion, and studies. The fiscal year budget for this year is two projects, the wastewater redundancy project, and the expenditure of $75,000 is proposed for expansion of the district's supervisory control and data acquisition, otherwise known as SCADA. Fund 26 receives no direct revenue and expenditures are wholly supported by transfers. The draft budget calls for a transfer from Fund 19, $1,020,000. This $1,020,000 in budget funds capital replacement of $995,000 and provides an emergency equipment repair fund of $25,000. This year, the projects budgeted are a 6-inch portable pump, an ASCO dishwasher, the CCT diffuser installation, the cogeneration unit design, an emergency bipump, an effluent pump room ducting, a maintenance building office, media dispenser, a plant cart, polymer pumps, and an RO system for the lab. In conclusion, the fiscal year 2022-23 budget meets all known district operation and maintenance needs, maintains district reserves, funds the fiscal year 2022-23 capital costs, including the costs of the construction of the redundancy project. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And I will now open. Oh, yes, excuse me.
So, Amy, I seem to remember that the reason our reserve is at 166% is because we continue to collect tax or rate revenue for the redundancy project, and it's not that we just don't spend money that we're taking in, that money is going to end up going somewhere else. Am I right about that, or am I mistaken? That. On Fund 19?
I will get back to you on that, but I believe that is actually our reserve, and that money, a portion of it will be spent in redundancy, but the majority of the redundancy project will be paid out of Capital Fund 20, the $15,885,000.
Okay. It does beg the question then. I thought, because that number was huge a couple of years ago too, that we were going to separate out how much of that was incoming revenue that was earmarked for something else. But yeah, can we do that for next time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not critical right now. Nobody's going to be upset about having too much money, except for that if we have too much money, it does beg, you know, why are we charging a lot? So I'm sure there's an explanation that I'm forgetting. So if you could just clarify for me, that's perfect. I'm otherwise fine.
Okay. Then I will go ahead and open the public hearing to receive public input regarding the adoption of the budget for the fiscal year 2022-23. And I see no one coming, so I will go ahead and close the public hearing and entertain a motion, I guess.
I will move we adopt resolution 2022-443, approving the budget for fiscal year 2022-23.
Second.
Can I do a roll call vote?
Oh, I forgot. I remember.
You're in charge, Karen.
Yeah, that's your problem.
Director Karen Ray Ressam?
Yes.
Director Karen White?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have actually seen somebody come running in from the street before. That's why I always wait.
Well, yeah. And
meeting
I,
or
I,
your city meeting?
City meeting. Yeah. No, not this meeting.
Well, because there is a parking challenge.
Yeah.
More in Arroyo Grande than... We all have parking challenges. But I was looking to see if there was somebody outside or somebody might be coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I believe now we need to hear a district administrator it would be district plant operator report.
Yeah, and I'll be covering Jeremy's portion.
We'll Thank call you. It the Michael report.
The Michael
report. Sounds really congressional.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent, and I'll be presenting the district administrator and plant operations report. This report represents ongoing information on the latest district staff activities on major capital projects and studies, programmatic initiatives, regional collaboration, miscellaneous activities, and plant operations. Some capital projects, we received the redundancy project quarterly update, which we provided earlier. Some miscellaneous things. The district wants to recognize a Mr. Rick Jackman for 20 years of service with the district. So that's awesome. And also we hired our new grade 2 operator, Mr. Justin Music. He started last week. This is his second week. We have not given any plant tours, and then tentative items are to be determined. So I just want to continue on to the plant operations report. During the May 1st through May 27th reporting period, the district's facility exceeded its NPDES permit limit for the instantaneous maximum chlorine residual. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. Exceedance corrective action and the district's path to prevent further reoccurrence is discussed at the end of this report. All other process values were within permit limitations. In the table below, you'll see our monthly plant data for May 2022. Again, all other numbers were within permit limitations. Some operation and maintenance tasks that operation staff performed are as follows. We removed temporary screen on our boiler hot water diffuser. RS Fire Protection performed our annual inspection of fire extinguishers. We painted our new Helen strainer in preparation for installation. Operation staff met and discussed draft design of the new diffuser for the dechlorination system improvement project. We calibrated our disinfection control probes. We trimmed back shrubbery along our back entrance to the plant, checked and marked underground service alerts. We troubleshot reclaimed water filtration system and installed a new shaft shear pin. Inspected and cleaned a new bar screen control panel cooling unit. Staff met with Enviro and Seifert Services to discuss placement and installation of new meters as part of the SCADA project. We replaced the broken chemical pump line, replaced our boiler air filter. We repaired a broken reclaimed water line and installed new isolation valve. And then Enviro assisted with installation of new float switches at our digester number 2 sump. Some work orders completed. We flushed our sodium bisulfide diffuser, rinsed all surfaces of all clarifiers, rinsed our disinfection control probes, test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. We deragged both primary sludge pumps, exercised our headworks gate valves. Some preventative maintenance was performed on our digester vacuum pressure relief valves, our reclaimed water filter baskets throughout the plant, fixed film reactor supply fans and ventilation fans, our water champ and forklift. Some training that staff participated in was walking and working surfaces, and water industry wastewater treatment, confined space entry, trenching, and shoring. There were no call-outs during this reporting period. And moving on to our permit exceedance, the district had an exceedance of instantaneous maximum total chlorine residual on May 19th, 2022. On May 19, 2022, district laboratory staff recorded a total chlorine residual of 10.7 milligrams per liter at 11:15 a.m. Immediately following the exceedance, district laboratory staff continued to sample and perform total chlorine residual analysis to ensure the district returned to within permit limitations. All 8 total chlorine analysis performed following the exceedance resulted in non-detect or a result of 0.02 milligrams per liter. 6 of those results were non-detect and 2 were 0.02 milligrams per liter for a daily average total chlorine residual of 1.2 milligrams per liter. The cause of the exceedance is unknown, but may be due to the dechlorination system not effectively mixing with the bulk effluent flow. The district is currently in the design phase of the dechlorination system improvement project. This improvement project is for the relocation of the dechlorination injection point to make use of the entire reaction time, increased mixing energy to ensure that the sodium bisulfite is well mixed and will adequately apply sodium bisulfite to contact all effluent equally. Tentative completion of the improvement project is July 2022. The district will not be assessed a mandatory minimum penalty for this exceedance. And then I did attach some photos of staff that are included in my report. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
I have one quick one. Is the reason we're not getting assessed is because that countdown clock restarted?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So from the date of this violation, we have 180 days, and it's 3 total violations. It's or 3 total violations. Our 4th one, we would be assessed the fine.
Got it. Well, good job.
All right. Yeah. Thanks.
And I love that you put these pictures in. We tell you this every time, but this is you're the one who's changed this. So yeah. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
I just lost the agenda. Is there any further business to come? Oh, that report was just to be
received and filed.
Thank you very much.
Board member communications.
I guess we should wish Mr. Gent I don't know if it's recovery or if he was just exposed, but we wish him well. That's my communications.
And my communications is to congratulate Mr. Jackman on 20 years.
Did he get anything? Did we get him a plaque?
We got him a plaque and got him some lunch.
That better have been a good lunch.
Oh yeah. Did
Mickey D's or anything.
Yeah.
Did everybody get to go to lunch or just?
Yes. Yeah. Everybody got to get to go to lunch. The other thing is his birthday and his 20 years of service were kind of close to each other. So we got to celebrate his birthday. And then in addition, of course, continue the celebration for his 20 years of service.
Fantastic.
Do we get 20 more years out of him?
I hope so.
Okay. Anything else to come before this board? Anything else?
We'll see you all in Oceano.
Yes, next meeting is in Oceano.
Is that next month?
In July.
July. Okay, thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Good meeting.
At
6:43, same as last meeting.
Really?
Exactly the same.
No kidding. Well, I suppose you want your sanitation district to be as consistent as possible. So we're just...
Yeah.
That is consistent.
Yeah. I have to laugh. You're having trouble, but you've already solved the problem in that you're rebuilding it already. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
What's the clock?